This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
About lesbian medical issues and about heart issues, and we're going to be talking about the health of our psyche or our mind and our heart and all of those sort of things. And joining us is Jacinta Carney, who's the Program Coordinator of Queer Community Services at Drummond Street Services. Jacinta, good morning.
Good morning to both of you.
Welcome to Saturday Magazine. So tell us, first of all, Drummond Street Services, what is that? And then we'll get into the gay and lesbian issues and kind of pull it apart.
Drummond Street is one of those not-for-profit organisations that Leanne and we were talking off-air about how it's been around for a very long time. It's evolved from the community welfare services. It was at one stage a children's home. It's actually... Really, it's a generalist agency. Its main focus that there has been in the past, or people that know about it, is about couples counselling, relationship counselling. But there's a whole lot of other things that the Drummond Street do. And for some reason, we don't know in the history, they have always had, or for a very long time, had a gay and lesbian focus. We don't know where that evolved from. But it's
so even way back, when we're talking 19th century, aren't we, the 1800s,
correct.
It was founded. And that's unusual to have that kind of folk. Was it way back then, or was it kind of like mid-last century? Or
as far as I'm aware, it was would have been mid-last century that,
right.
that focus came in. But we're not particularly sure. We haven't been able to research to find that out.
The swinging 60s or something.
Well, even
I hope so.
Yeah, even then, that's still pretty...
pretty radical.
Pretty radical for counselling or a community service body to... be focused on that.
When you think about how it was started, if you remember that story about the and I keep putting this man's name around the wrong way,
John Jackman.
That's
Do you want me to give you a
Jack
bit of
Donman, whichever way it is. Yes,
a brief overview of what happened.
That'd be lovely.
With John. Yeah, the impetus for the foundation of the service arose through public outcry over the death of destitute casual worker and sometimes seaman John Jackman. It was on the February 9th, 1887. That he was discovered by a local policeman close to death at a lodging house in a Beckett Street in Melbourne, and he managed to get him into a cab into the Melbourne hospital. And the acting medical officer diagnosed peritonitis and tried to admit him, didn't have a bed, tried to get him down to the Alfred Hospital, and there were no beds because there'd been an outbreak of typhus in Melbourne at the time. And by the time they got back to the cab, poor old John Jackman had died, and the coronial inquiry that followed fueled an ongoing public outcry over the weakness of the prevailing hospital and charity system. 120 years later, some things don't change. And it precipitated a public meeting attended by leaders of the then charity organisations, and one of the professors from Melbourne Uni established a Melbourne Charity Organisation Society, and that's what that became, is the overseeing group of charity organisations to make sure that we had some coordinated services in Melbourne to meet the needs of people perhaps less fortunate that
and to me,
assistance.
To me, that's what I'm talking about. It actually has started and is established and continued to, I'd say, flourish, doing some things that are slightly different. It's not particularly set up to be slightly different, but
because most other charity organisations are through a church,
exactly,
or
exactly,
through some sort of particular focus or need, whereas this is actually something that's come directly from a community outcry, this is what broadly we need. It hasn't got a narrow focus at all.
And it has an incredibly good reputation today. I know that you wouldn't say that, or you might say that, but...
she works there, she's going to say
like proclaim, you know, that it has I can say as an outsider who sometimes refers people to your agency, it does have a very, very good reputation within the community sector in Melbourne. And, one of the preeminent ones that I think... really deserves the kind of accolades. And with that sort of history, it's wonderful. I knew nothing of that history before today, and it's like, it's built on a pretty solid foundation, isn't it?
It's an amazing foundation, and like you, I was I didn't have that knowledge until we had the 120 anniversary, the 120 year anniversary, and we did this whole timeline. And you think of all of the things that have occurred in that time, and a lot of agencies you would have expected could have easily have folded, various various monies disappear, those kind of things. But it's just it's just continued, and I guess it is partly because, as you said, Leanne, it's come from the community voice. So there's some philanthropic organisations that are prepared to back that, mm-hmm. and that's where a lot of our funding comes from, as well as government funding, certainly.
And it seems to have evolved as well. I mean, two world wars, a depression, probably a couple of market crashes, and from my reading, the services have changed to sort of meet the times.
Absolutely.
As well, yes. And I think maybe that's the failing of some other organisations.
To adapt?
Yes.
I think that's adaptation. That's one of the things that Drummond Street, certainly, as I understand it, it wants to do. And because of, I mean, I have a focus, of course, being the coordinator of the Queer Community Services Program, but it's not just limited to that. It actually, but the thing that's important about that is that there can be so many links that we can have because of that adaptation. So we've been connected to so many places.
But what does it do now? Like, it's changed its name from Drummond Street Relationship Centre to Drummond Street Services. That obviously reflects either a shift or a re-understanding of what you do.
Yes, all of that. The shift is partly to do with you have to be cautious about a misnomer. If it's, there's a whole the series of legislative changes that have occurred, and there's been relationship centres that have been established for family dispute resolution, and we actually do that or have been doing that at Drummond Street Services, but it's not that's not its main focus, and that's one of the things that the relationship services are set up for, is that they're actually meant to be simply divorcing couples who are, and that, you know, kind of, as we know, that completely eliminates gay and lesbian community, because we don't divorce, because we can't marry, of course.
That's right.
We're certainly looking at that, but also recently, part of Midsummer, we did an audit, a perceptions audit with the community that was there. Had a fantastic response from people, and they were talking about their key issues were mental health, obesity, past trauma. Those kind of things were their bigger issues. So that's something where we there's some opportunities to reach out to those areas and do some work, and that's, you know, it's that adaptation. We're able to do that. We've got some people who have some expertise in that area, but the connections with the community mean that if we don't have the expertise, we can actually link into those. The people who came in before I came on today, I was listening to the doctors' list.
Yep.
I mean, that's a fantastic. And I've grabbed some of their leaflets so that we can actually have them at Drummond Street to do some cross-referencing.
Yes,
for the group.
That's right. Well, we're talking with Jacinta Carney here from Drummond Street Services on Saturday Magazine. Play a bit of music and we'll come back and talk more about what you're up to down there in Carlton.
With Leanne Renfrey and Jeff Hood.
I love that song.
So do I.
Takes me back to high school.
Yeah, me too. It's one that I've
women's
loved
cricket.
For a long time.
We won't go there.
Women's cricket.
Hello. My downfall. Ah. Anyway, that might be another In Focus topic one week, but this morning our In Focus topic is Drummond Street Services, and joining us in the studio is Jacinta Carney, who's the Program Coordinator of Queer Community Services. Welcome back. Now, we've had a bit of a rundown about the service and the change over the years and the sorts of place it's at now. What sort of issues, Jacinta, do your clients bring to the service?
It's a variety of issues. It's from the beginning of relationships. It is a lot of relationship is the big word. So it is the beginning of a relationship. Some people come in to do some pre-relationship, actually preparing to be in a relationship. Some people come when a relationship is broken down. Some people come, the most recent kind of issues that people are bringing, those that I referred to before, and somebody might be a partner of someone who has depression or mm-hmm. some kind of mental health issue, and it's working together about how they can actually deal with that issue. Some of the things to do with that as well is that there's very often support services out there for partners of people who are working who are suffering depression,
mm-hmm.
And the thing often that they're thinking about is that I'm their partner, I'm not their carer. That's one of the things, mm.
And there is a difference, different relationship,
a distinct different relationship, and it's a and it's to have that discussion with the couple. It can be very, very useful, and just to recognise that we can be at different parts of our relationship, and we are different kind of people at different times,
mm.
And I'm not talking about anything unwell here. I'm talking about just how we are
in day-to-day life.
Yeah. I'm someone's daughter. I'm someone's partner. I'm a friend, etc. So there's those kind of things. The other one that's come to the fore recently as well has been the Assisted Reproductive Treatment Act that's mm-hmm. come about and been proclaimed. There's a lot of mums or would-be mums who are wondering about how to go about that, and also the idea of being prepared for working with donors and non-donors, a known donor and an unknown donor.
That seems to be a huge area because we seem to see in the press the sort of, I guess, bad stories or the extreme stories of things that have gone wrong, and I don't really hear a lot about people working out how to start the process and avoid some of the pitfalls
it's
that have
fantastic.
Happened.
It's fantastic. And it's interesting because when we think about it, the gay and lesbian community are the only group of people that I can think of who, before they actually have a child, actually get to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and that's what, and people are embracing that. There's no question about that. Gay dads are certainly having conversations with us as well. James runs one of our gay dads groups and is having various conversations with people about that as well. So it's that whole, it's from before birth to, and obviously there are, I was going to be using the term before birth and to death. So we're talking about people who are grieving about various things mm. that are happening in their lives. Mm. So there's a wide variety of things that we actually work with. And it's not just couples that we work with. We certainly do work with individuals as well. And we run various groups, and which I'll be, I imagine, be able to talk about in a few minutes. Mm.
Yeah, we'd love to know what's coming up.
Let's move on to that now. Jacinda, you're the Program Coordinator of Queer Community Services.
Correct.
What sort of portion of your clients, you might not actually know, but would be queer, say? Is it a big chunk or roughly reflecting the broader community? Or
are you talking Drummond Street services or my clients particularly?
Well, Drummond Street services particularly, yeah.
It's very similar. Although when I talk about it, it's actually 20%.
Yeah,
which is a bit higher than average.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think you referred to it a little earlier. There's that Drummond Street does have a good reputation, so there's a lot of people, and it's a bit like what Well Proud were doing with their, if you know that document that's mm-hmm. been recently released. As you walk into the centre, there's no question about what the agency is able to do. We have some fantastic reception staff, and that's where the work starts. Is as soon as somebody walks into a place, they've got to feel like they're welcome, mm-hmm. And that's where it begins. So there's the understanding that the people that walk through the door will be from lots mm-hmm. of diverse parts of the community.
So it's inclusive from the first step.
Correct.
Can I ask you a really odd question?
I'm not sure if I can add or I'll give you an odd answer.
It just seems like, I just wonder, do you, with all the queer literature and posters and so on, or the sense that it's queer friendly, does that ever put heterosexual people off? Or does it ever create an issue for them in terms of going in there? Have you ever heard any comments from anyone?
I'm not aware of that. And it's actually it's a focus that we have there, but it's not the agency.
Yeah.
And it's so there are various things around the place, but there's various notices around the place for dads. There's various notices around the place for that. I'm thinking we have. Now, this is, of course, the focus of the agency, but there's we recently had a backyard blitz for separated dads.
Yeah.
Young dads being able to go out to places, being with their dads, that kind of thing. So there's nothing necessarily that says we are a gay agency. What it is a gay an agency that recognises.
Yeah, the reason I asked you that, I was speaking with a group of medical students last week about access issues to health services and how perception and stereotyping and so forth can lead to access problems. And one of them raised the issue that if you have kind of specialised services or anything that's seen to be too inclusive, would that put, that they thought that maybe it would put mainstream people off? And I said, well, I don't think so. And I said, you know, the other issue, of course, is that a lot of people from minority groups often have difficulty going into mainstream services. So I just wanted to ask you that because it actually came out of a discussion. I couldn't imagine people being put off by it.
I know Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria have a range of posters, and they're very subtle. Posters are not in your face, screaming rainbow flag, pink feather boa, you know, Kylie Pinner.
Yeah,
they're just very much about inclusion and difference and diversity. And if you're looking, if you're the sort of person, if you're looking at will I be accepted here, you'd spot them.
That's right.
But if you are used to sort of being, I guess, in the majority and walking in and
you might not notice.
You wouldn't notice. So I think it is very much what you're saying, that message to those that are looking for it and wanting to know that they're welcome.
Yeah.
And I think that's that sort of image that's certainly prevailing through probably research from GLHV.
So tell us a bit more about the queer services there and the groups and things that you do.
So I mentioned earlier about the gay dads group. They regularly meet and have have discussions and currently are in terms of that legislation that I talked about before. As I understand it, they're trying to work out why the gay men were left out of that legislation. We have lesbian mums group, and as I mentioned to you a few minutes ago, the backyard blitz for separated dads. We've recently made a connection, and now Step Families works with us, and they have some groups of with same-sex families and step families, and I'm looking at my list to try and work out what are the other things that we have. The one's about parenting teenagers, working on your relationship, all of those kind of areas. And it's the if you look at our website, you'll actually see the ones that I've missed.
Because you run them pretty often. I'm just looking at upcoming events, and it's only next 2 months, and there's half a page.
Absolutely.
There. What's change of name? Do you know that one?
I assume that's about us.
Oh, it might be just says update, so maybe it's just
yes,
change
yes,
of name.
Yes, it is.
I thought it might have been something
group.
About like, oh.
We're going to change the number of letters.
Yeah.
Do people who come or get referred to the service or who walk in off the street and say that they are gay or lesbian and want to see someone, would they normally see you as the program coordinator, or would they see any of the counsellors there?
The way the intake system works is that they would actually go through the intake system, and yes, they may well see me, but we actually have three specific counsellors who are lesbian themselves, and then we often run workshops within the agency for the other counsellors who are there and talking to them about working with gay and lesbian clients, so that the intake system will actually ask them the question. And that's another thing I suppose that's important about the kind of system that any agency can have, is to actually ask that question about whether you call yourself gay, lesbian, heterosexual, etc., and whether your preference about a counsellor. And whether you would like male or female counsellor, those kind of things. And I suppose that's one of the things that Drummond Street, I'm aware, is championing, is the idea that agencies can have protocols, various legislation there that suggests let's make our agency diverse, but they don't actually have follow-up processes that say, well, how can...
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.